Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America, Diana Jacoby and Lily Sofrani are a mother-daughter writing team. Together, they wrote a Hebrew reading curriculum, Sarah and David Read Hebrew Now, called the Perfect Learn to Read Hebrew Program for Schools. And more recently, their first children's story, Everyone is Asleep But Me, a delightful tale based on Lily's son and his transition from crib to junior bed, and the early wake-up calls as the child finds his way to the parents' room very early in the morning. Diana has always been involved with children as a mom, educational director of synagogue schools, and as a grandmother. Lily is a mom and an entrepreneur. And co-author of Everyone is Asleep But Me, Diana Jacoby, is our guest on This Week in America. Diana, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Yes, thank you so much. A pleasure for me too.
This book is so delightful and brings back so many memories of parents who have had kids go through this process where I thought they were in bed and suddenly it's 5:30 in the morning and they're back in bed with us again. You and Lily have a history of working together. You've created a highly successful creative partnership. How did that all get started? What's it like working with her as co-author of this book and the book series that we'll also be talking about?
Yeah, that's a lovely question. I was working as an educator and looking for better tools at the time. And she was a tutor. She was a tutor working with children, preparing them for their bar and bat mitzvah. And I had students who needed special materials, and Lily got started with some very creative ideas as to how to help the students that she was working with. And that dovetailed with my desire to create something new for the students and the children in the school, the Hebrew school where I was working. And it was a perfect collaboration because I brought the educator background and thinking and goals to the table. And she also had the experience with working with Hebrew and teaching children, and being 25 years old, she brought all the skills in her back pocket. So yes. All this, the uploading skills, design skills, all those things that I would never even imagine how to do. So it was a lovely collaboration in terms of, we started with one book. It was our flagship book, the Alphabet Story, which teaches the letters in a very colorful, story-like fashion. Yes. to help students who don't speak Hebrew, don't know these letters, really learn the letters the right way. And from there, the curriculum evolved because I have a keen knowledge of what it takes to, learn to read Hebrew, not to speak, but that first level skill that you need along the way. And so out of that came one book after the other book. It was a lovely collaboration for about, 6-7 years. she moved on, and I knew she was going to move on. And down the road, when she had her son, it was mother-daughter conversation. And she was waking up early in the morning. He was very young. He was a toddler. And coming to her room, and she couldn't get a night's sleep. She was really annoyed.
Yes.
And tired. And so I said, well, maybe tell it to him like this. And for some reason, I liked the way it came out. And it literally became the text of the book. And then I showed it to someone who was in graphics, and he had somebody sketch it out. He said, I can see this perfectly. And then he said, oh, you have to add color. And that's how it all happened, one after the other.
Yes.
But it was, again, another collaboration with Lily around a different life experience. But just important to her, and something as a grandmother, I just totally saw from a bird's eye view,
yes,
knowing how how it's serious, it's real, but it's cute. And it's also a teaching moment. So many things filtered into the creation of this little book.
And we'll talk about all of those. And there are so many teaching moments here. It's a delightful children's story. And on top of that, it deals with an issue that so many parents go through and does it in a lighthearted way. The book is so well done. And co-author, Diana Jacoby, with us on the program. Her website for this book is everyoneisasleepbutme.com. The Hebrew series that we talked about, and we'll mention that again during the conversation, is readhebrewnow.com. Both of those websites listed on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can click on, go directly there to get information. This is amazing. The story just sort of came to you, and I understand it's pretty much verbatim what you said to Lily and what you wrote down.
Right. It was, as they say, very organic.
Yes.
It came out of this phone conversation. I just remember sitting, you know, in my kitchen and hearing her frustration and what, because a toddler is too young. You can't say, sit them down with a book.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, today I know families will put young ones in front of a phone or a screen. However, I don't think that was happening, or she didn't choose to do that. So it's their safety, and they're up, they're alert, you know, their day has started.
Yes.
So part of that was this transition from a crib to a bed, which is why the whole thing starts to happen. The child discovers they can get out of bed by themselves and go peek in on the parents. So it's this, you know, this moment in time with a child who's not a baby anymore, but they're still very young in terms of how to function in the world. And so that's, you know, what had the book happen. And I have to credit the illustrator who just created something very beautiful and detailed.
Yes.
And as actually Kirkus says, it's this purpley look. So it's not night in a scary sense. It's nighttime in a friendly sense. And he captured all the details of the bedroom and the hallway and the morning and the whole thing. He did a very beautiful job.
Well, and I love the transition that the child goes through. Suddenly, this independence and being able to sleep a whole night by himself, it's rather satisfying for him. And he understands, like, okay, at first he wonders what's going on. Everybody's asleep. And then he realizes, hey, this is pretty cool. What's actually happening to me? The book is Everyone is Asleep But Me. Co-author Diana Jacoby, that's Y-A-C-O-B-I, is our guest on the program today. Let's talk about Little Bear, one of the characters in this story. I love Little Bear, and everybody's got a Little Bear in their life. Explain Little Bear.
Right. So I think the notion came to me because Milan at that time had this little bear, and it was already a little bit tired and a little bit, you know, worn, but it's one of those loved animals. And Milan and that little bear morphed into this character for me. And it's, again, I think the illustrator captures this really live-looking little bear who, you know, wakes up and he walks around and he's thinking about his situation. And he's kind of a very evocative little character. Part of the surrounding characters are like his ball and his train and his lion who are sleeping, and they keep sleeping through the whole night. So this is an interesting thing. And the sun is still even sleeping. So in the story, you can do this. In real life, I'm not sure it would happen so easily. However, the little bear, you know, has the wisdom to go back to his bed and climb in and discovers, oh, this is not so bad. And, you know, goes back to sleep and begins to learn about sleeping through the whole, you know, the whole night.
Let's talk about the evolution of this process. Once you tell the story to Lily and it works, you share the story with others and they say, you've got something here. This really is well done. How, talk about that transition from, okay, this is a good story, maybe it should be a book, to, yeah, it actually is a book. What was that like going through the whole process of getting the illustrator, of making sure the wording, the text was correct, and getting the book published? Because that's that can be an awesome undertaking. Well, you know that in the series, the Hebrew series that you've written.
Right, right. So it was just laid out on paper, and when I shared it, there was some real excitement, about it.
Yes.
with this graphics fellow that we knew, and he had a very talented illustrator who began to work on this. I know I've approached him to do so if I had other ideas with this little bear. And it's been hard for others to replicate, actually, the look of this little bear. But the illustrator really created the look of the bear, and the wording didn't take much changing at all. It has its rhythm where everybody's asleep and everybody's still asleep, and it ends with a change. It's daytime, and we see that in the morning the little bear has a lot of energy, and the parents are happy, and they're at this park scene, and it, meaning sleep is important, and it gives you lots of energy for the next day, and this is kind of why we need to have a good night's sleep. Parents and children need to learn to have a good night's sleep so that they feel good and can play and do whatever. What Lily added on as well as a very nice little additional teaching piece, is the chart that comes at the end, which it invites even a toddler to give themselves a little star on Monday and Tuesday and Friday and whenever it was that they slept through the whole night and can kind of self-monitor, start to get the idea.
Yes.
And parents can make a big deal out of that. You know, the chart's full or a week is full.
Oh, yes.
So that was a lovely addition that Lily talked about, and we added on to the story.
This story is so well done, as is the Hebrew series, and we'll talk about that again before we conclude the program today, the interview. It is so well thought out, like having that checklist for the child at the end, and it's all done in a light, entertaining way. The book is Everyone is Asleep But Me. Diana Jacoby is the co-author and our guest on the program with her daughter Lily Safrani. You nailed everything on this, including the title. That says it all. Everybody is asleep but me. Sometimes people get all convoluted with the title, and it's like, I'm not quite sure what they're saying. This is very simple. Everyone is asleep but me. How did you come up with the title?
You know, I don't get any credit for that. The people that I turned to, that I gave the text to, and then who developed the book, the illustrations and so on, I think their team, as they were working on it, came up with this idea. And it's really good. I've had parents say to me, that's me.
Yes.
You know, they identify with the title. The other aspect to this is that little ones, really little ones, totally get it. You know, they kind of, I have a video of my grandson. This is my son, other set of grandchildren. One is a little older and the other one is about, I don't know, 18 months, and he's reading to him. And you see the kids just get it. It's about, you know, something that's an issue for them.
Yes.
And a reality for them. So it's lovely that young children actually really, really identify with the story and the little bear.
One of the reviews calls it the quintessential bedtime story, should be on every nightstand of a young child. And you can read to the child can read it to you, you can talk about it. It's so well done, so well illustrated. The book is Everyone is Asleep But Me. You mentioned before the Kirkus review. So you write the book, it's out there, you've got a review. And I'm sure you're anxious to look and see what they're saying. This was a glowing review. They liked everything about the book. And that's sort of an understatement. They really, really liked everything about the book. Talk about that and that feedback that you got from this as well as from parents.
Right. That was a total surprise. I mean, just the way this book happened, evolved organically. There was no idea that I was going to write, Lily and I were going to write a children's book. And it's kind of people pulled us into us. They pulled us along into the process. And they submitted, the publisher submitted it to Kirkus, and they wrote this review, which was, like you say, it was actually glowing. They liked yes. the look of the book and the concept of the book and how it, again, it speaks on so many, in so many ways to a young child. So it was quite a blessing to receive that, and lovely to have that. So some of it is quoted on, you know, on the back of the book or on Amazon, and it was really a special thing to receive.
Well, it really was glowing praise for the book. They talk about the approachable vocabulary. I mentioned your background in education, a master's degree in education. That really comes in handy in understanding young people, doesn't it? With this book, as well as the Hebrew series, you have an understanding for a child, what makes a child, a young person tick, and how you can get a message across to them.
Yes, yes. So it was, as much as the content is very, very different, it is exactly that. Like what will be supportive to a child who's learning something or who needs to learn something. In this case, we have the whole bedtime experience, and with the Read Hebrew program or Read Hebrew Now program, it was a similar issue because I grew up inside this experience of trying to learn to read Hebrew, and it wasn't successful. I was very frustrated, and because a lot of years were spent toward that process, and my kids kind of had the same experience. So I said, when I became an ed director and I was running the show, so to speak, I said, there's got to be a better way. And it's an approach which is backward, you know, backward from what's called bar mitzvah. So when a child becomes 10 or 11 or 12, and they're still having all these difficulties, there's reasons for it. So the way we built the curriculum was based on what we knew pedagogically children needed, or any, you know, whether it's a child or an adult or a teenager, it's not age specific. It's really a method. These are the things they need to be aware of in a systematic way in order to build their skills in learning to read Hebrew. And the first time out, not six times out and not after a lot of frustration. So as you mentioned, kind of a connection, kids are my medium,
yes,
so to speak. And this was just taking... The storybook is just from a different phase in my life, and it's been great fun. I've had so much fun with the grandkids, you know, when they're little, and some are getting bigger. So it all goes by too fast.
It really does. New stories that you can share as they grow older and go through things that teenagers go through, a whole different world ahead of you as the kids grow up. That book is Everyone is Asleep But Me. That's the focus, but we're talking about Read Hebrew Now, and we'll conclude with that here in a second. I want to go back to Everyone is Asleep But Me. You've got a happy moment. You end up with a smile on our face as we're reading that. Talk about the ending, how you came up with that.
The ending. Well, the ending is the idea of several ideas. We all need to feel good when we get up in the morning. We all have to feel rested. That's the parents, that's the children. A young one needs to learn that. And they need to learn to feel secure sleeping on their own in their room. And that speaks to the idea that the bedtime routine is really important, that they have their special little toys and their little bear and their little blankie or whatever it is that they latch onto from their first beginnings is very, very important to create this welcoming environment, familiar environment that the parents create for the child. So they go to their room and they love to be there. And that contributes to the whole feeling of let's get ready for bed. It's time to go to bed. And that, you know, being asleep in your own bed is really a lovely thing. It's nothing to be anxious about.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
It doesn't happen instantly, but that's where the reading of a book and the little familiar toys and spending those few minutes with, you know, with a parent or a loved one or a friend is really important at the end of the day. And so that then, I mean, in this little story, the bear kind of figures all that out for himself, which is a big thing. However, that's the underlying issue. He has these little toys that are his friends, and he gets into his bed, and the place is really lovely, and he enjoys that. And then he moves into his day, and he's a new person. And he can play, and he can even take a look at what he accomplished. He slept the whole night in his own bed, and this is a big deal.
And he felt better in the morning. He felt rested in the morning, and he learned to respect other people. They're asleep. I'm not going to wake them now. I'm going to look at them, smile, go back into my bed with with my little bear and all my stuffed animals back there and enjoy the night. The book is once again, so well done. It's entertaining, but all of these teachable moments. And it's not like, okay, let's stop the entertaining. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to preach something now. You have it there. It's incorporated in such a way that it is a delightful book, and the book is available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to, of course, Amazon. Direct you, first of all, to Diana's website, everyoneisasleepbutme.com. And you've got a link for that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, the chart at the end, and the parents and the child can get involved in that as well. It is so well done. Book available again wherever books are sold. I'll send you to Diana's website. Get information there and other books as well. What's amazing is if Lily hadn't called you out of frustration and said, "Mom, I need help. I'm not getting any sleep." This whole thing might have never happened. I mean, it's amazing how this whole thing fit together. And you've got this in your mind, this whole story laid out during the course of the conversation. Amazing, isn't it, how this whole thing fit together?
Yes. I mean, Lily's a wonderful mother, very, very attentive. Milan now is 13 years old and a great sleeper. All of the grandchildren are wonderful sleepers. So the sleep issue goes away, but it's such a pivotal moment, you know, that families have. And I would say, once there's maybe one or two more children that come along, the parents just learn better how to handle it also. It was just a special moment, and somehow we both captured it and have had a lot of fun with it.
And for parents, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. If you're reading the story, everyone is asleep. But me, it's like, well, wait, it worked out here. It could work out in our life as well. And here's sort of the roadmap to have this all work out in the story, delightful story that will impact the young child and we'll all get a good night's sleep. And a couple minutes left, I want to go back and talk about the Read Hebrew Now. I'm so impressed with what you did with that. And you talk about the maybe difficulty in teaching it before. And it sounds like parents and students and teachers all had issues trying to make this effective. What you've done is a blessing for everybody, the students, the parents, the teachers. You've even got music incorporated in this, what rap in Hebrew that will capture the attention. You've thought of everything.
We did. This was an amazingly creative moment that we had. We were working with a friend of Lily's who was a musician, and he helped us put together an app. We have a free app on Apple phones only. We're not on Android, unfortunately, yet. But you can find if you search Aleph Bet Story in the Apple App Store, you'll find a rendition of the book that has the images, it has the text, it has the audio support, and makes it really lively and fun and a good support for the book itself, or, you know, an alternate together with the book. That is the starting point for learning the letters. We just kind of recognize where, for someone, it's like you're going to go and learn Swahili or Chinese, and it's totally foreign to you. It's very difficult. So it starts with something that's very graphic and repetitious in its messaging for each letter, a little whimsical also.
Yes.
And so that was the starting point. Lily gets total credit for that because she dreamed it all up. And we worked with a friend of hers. We would throw the idea to her, and she came up with these really wonderfully designed images, just right, clear and a lot of color. But we wanted to keep going from there. And so the curriculum is really in four parts. The first part is learn the letters with the related workbooks, which are pre-reading workbooks. The part two is the learn to read. We have five workbooks in there. And they teach both the reading acquisition, how to read, as well as how to do the script writing in Hebrew, which is a little bit different, easy, but different from print letters. And then some follow-up books that are kind of review books. Because some children are studying that every day. Other children will study it for a few months a year, then it's summer break, and you forget everything. So you need a review book. The third part is taking all of that reading ability and applying it to some of the key prayers in Hebrew that children or adults, you know, are going to need it for. That's really the purpose, is not to get stuck on how to read, but what is it that you want to be able to read? So people want to read prayers in Hebrew. They want to read the Bible in Hebrew. They want to learn to read modern Hebrew. Let's say if they're in Israel, the newspaper, or if they speak a modern Hebrew, conversational Hebrew, the writing, you know, to be literate, you need that.
Well, so, and it's so well done. And again, information on this is available at Diana's website, readhebrewnow.com. The book available at everyoneisasleepbutme.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Diana, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Great success, you and Lily, in the Read Hebrew Now book series, as well as Everyone Is Asleep But Me. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much. It's been really a pleasure for me to share all this with you.
Well, it's been fun having you with us, and my thanks to Olympus Story House, unleashing the power of your stories to achieve the recognition they deserve. My thanks to OlympusStoryHouse.com. You're listening to This Week in America. Information on all of Diana and Lily's works on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.